Welcome back to Exponential. Reiner Zittelmann is author of the book The Wealthy Elite and has studied the super rich in depth. They have clear similarities in their backgrounds and in their personalities. But does that mean the non-rich could emulate those traits and get rich?
I want to say yes and yes and no. On the one side, I was 3 months ago, I've been in China, and I had, this book was published as well in China and in Mandarin, and people were very interested in this, and I had a lot of presentations there in China, and I asked all of these Chinese people, they are crazy about becoming rich, everyone want to grow rich, and I asked them, if you want to grow rich and you have the opportunity to speak with 45 self-made people who became very rich and to tell you about their attitude, about their biography, about the way they think, would you do it or not? Everyone would do it. So Sure, you can learn, but not in this way. And this is what I don't like with this all this stupid, how to get rich books that tells you, oh, you have to do this 5 or 6 steps and do this and that. And then it's a guarantee that you will grow rich quickly. I think this is absolutely, this is crazy. It's another thing. If you learn about these people, about their attitude, about their personality, about the way they think, then you can start to think about yourself. How is it with my own attitude? How is it with my own personality? You can compare in what points, what do I have in common that I didn't know before, maybe, or in what thing I think very different. And I think it's not so complicated to understand it. These people are so wealthy because they did things different like other people do. I think it's easy to understand.
Sure.
They did things, if you do things like everyone does, you will have the results like everyone else.
Right.
But to do things different, it's very important to understand that they think different. For example, I spoke with every one of them about the crises and the setbacks that they had through their careers. And sure, every one of them had serious crises and setbacks. And it was very interesting how they reacted. For most people, it's so, if something bad happens in their life, they blame others. For example, they are not good at school, for the fault of the teacher. Or maybe they, in general, they have no success in life. It's about their parents, maybe. It's about the society, about the economic system. Or if they have success, it's about them. If there's a failure or a setback, then it's about the others. And with these people, it's absolutely the contrary. They took responsibility for their success, but much more important, they took responsibility for their setbacks and for their failures, and they blamed only one, themselves, if they had a setback. And so they said, not it was not the competitor, it was not the market, it was not the society, it was not someone else who betrayed me or something like this, but it was me.
Just me.
The feeling of power that if I blame myself, then I can change it. I have the power to change it. I can learn it. And I think this was something very important, what everyone had in common. And another thing what was very important, they like, I call them non-conformists. So a lot of them were misfits. They told me misfits in this sense. They couldn't have worked in a existing company because a lot of them are very difficult people. One, I told you about this multi-billionaire who earned his money with yogurt and milk, and he gave me an example, and it's a little bit funny because, sure, it's about cows, because he earned his money with cows, and he told me there's a herd of 100 cows walking on a path, And on the left side, there's a lush field, very, very lush field, green, and 99 of the cows go to the left side. And but the grass is very, you know, in a few minutes it's eaten, and only one cow is going to the right side, where the field, the grass is not as near as lush as it was on the left side. But this cow goes on eating. This is only an example how they think that they like to swim against the stream, to do things very different from the others, and to love it, to like it. And I think this is very important, right? Because as I mentioned before, if you do the things like the majority does, or like everyone does,
you get the same results.
Have success, and there were,
we talk about their shared history in terms of things that happened to them in childhood. Thinking differently is clearly a key similarity. What are other adult traits that they have in common?
I mentioned this non-conformism to do things different. The other things that I mentioned, very important, is how they deal with setbacks. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's very important. Mm-hmm. The third thing is nearly every one of them told me how important their ability in sales is, that they love it to turn. They don't accept no if people say no. They like to turn this no in yes. I don't know how it is in the United States, but here in Europe, if you ask most people, do you like sales or what? No, I don't want to sales. It has the kind of negative connotation for a lot of people to be a salesman or something like this. They were very proud to be good in sales. It's about the decision making. I spoke about it, this gut feeling or an analysis. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the most important thing that you have to understand, that the way they learn, because if you want to be successful, you have to learn a lot. And then the question is, how do you learn it? Where do you learn it? And I wondered a little bit why a lot of them told me I make more gut decision then with analysis. Sure, they analyze the numbers and so, but in the end, most of them told me that the gut is more important. So I wanted to understand what do they mean by this. And I think it's this result, what I mentioned before, of this implicit learning. And sure, then I spoke about a lot of other things, for example, about optimism or risk propensities. Mm-hmm. For example, I had a risk scale, and I asked every one of them if there's a scale, and -5 means that you absolutely risk averse, always to want to be on the safe side. And +5 means that prepared to take a lot of extreme risk. Most of them were between +3 and +5. They like to take risks, but on the other side, a lot of them told me during their life they reduced their risk profile, and I think this is very important as well. So in the early years, when they started maybe as entrepreneurs or investors, they took a lot of risk, but in the later time, a lot of them reduced it, because sure, I think there are a lot of other rich people who never reduced their risk profile, mm-hmm. but then they were not rich anymore because on one step they lost their money because taking too many risks, the taking risk is important, but very important as well is to reduce the risk during their life. And another thing I asked them, I had another scale, not only for risk, but a scale for optimism and pessimism, and I asked them if -5 is extreme pessimist and +5 extreme optimist. Most of them, some told me, okay, if +5 is the maximum, then I'm 7 or 8 or something like this. But I want to understand, what does optimism mean? It's, you know, this is only a word. Does it mean like, you know, crazy belief like it is in Hollywood movie, the happy end? There's always a guarantee for a happy end, or to see the world through rose glasses or so. And not, this is not what they mean by optimism. They mean by optimism what you call in psychology self-efficacy. That means the belief that they can solve most of the problems.
Right.
One of them told me, for example, as a result, optimism means as a result of your own abilities, you are always able to identify solution. So in the end, to make it short, not all of them are the same. I think this is an illusion if you want to say everyone is the same. No, I think I said it in the beginning, like poor people are different in their personality, so rich people are as well different. But the other side, they have a lot of things in common. And this is the main result of my research, that there's absolutely a clear correlation between the personality traits on the one side and the financial success on the other side.
Do you have a view how much of those traits are innate?
No, I can't say it whether they are innate or whether they learned it in their early years through their education. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say. I think like we spoke about it, that very very early you could see this personality traits in their life, but this doesn't mean necessarily that they are innate. Maybe it's very early in their childhood. I don't know.
Thank you so much for your time today. That's Exponential for this week. Thanks for listening. I'm Amanda Lang.